Well, welcome once again to the Don and Wynn Show. I have my wonderful co-host, Wynn Free, with us today. How are you today, Wynn?
Don, I'm fine.
Excellent.
Hey, why am I wonderful?
You answered that.
Why am I wonderful, Don?
Well, good question. Do you want me to answer that?
No, I'll answer it. Glad you asked.
I've missed you this week.
Huh?
I said, I've missed you all week.
Well, that reminds me of the song, How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? It's today, January 6th, right?
That's right.
And this is our first show of the new year.
That's correct.
And as you know, I thought it would be really interesting to kind of do a little recapitulation of the past year on the Don and Wynn Show. And then I have a really interesting message. Okay?
Well, that sounds great.
You know, our world is on a precipice. You know that.
That's correct. I believe so, yes. I truly believe that.
And, you know...
Now, you got to speak up. Keep your... Now, I'm looking at your volumes.
I don't know. Talk like that, okay?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Perfect. Thanks.
All right. Our world is on a precipice, and we're going through something which we call a dimensional shift, and we've been talking about this in many different ways on this show. Now, you know, when one is going to talk about something that's not in the normal news, not in the history books, and even the smartest minds on the planet, many of them, have no clue, so it's not accessible by intelligence that this is going on. And yet we talk about it, and we've talked about it on many of our shows, like it's something that we take for granted. And one of the reasons we seem to... Why do we think there's a dimensional shift, John? Don?
You called me by my son's name. And in fact, it's my youngest son's birthday today, so there's a synchronicity.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my youngest, Thomas. And he's 2 years old. You know, to me, if people aren't feeling something's changed, inside, if they're not aware yet that something's different now in the last, call it couple years, 3 years, 5 years, than it ever has been, that they can remember. And some of them are waking up to it now more than others in various stages. But if they haven't felt that yet, then it's pretty hard for me to explain it to them. But most, I think, that I speak to have truly felt that. And to me, that is the answer.
Well, to me, if somebody told me that, I'd say, even if you have those feelings or something's going on, how do you know what that is?
Well, I think the only way... How do you know? The only way you know is by knowing yourself, correct?
Well, I'm not going to agree with that, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you don't mind, I'm going to just tell you, I think...
And I didn't mean to be, you know, weird about that. I was trying to emphasize that. You know what I mean? I think the only way to know something is to truly either experience it or feel it, somehow know it, and... I think that comes way beyond intelligence, yes.
Yes, well, I mean, myself, I tend to be skeptical, analytical. If someone told me what you're saying, I'd say, how do I know I could believe that? How do I internalize that? I mean, myself, you've had a number of people on your show, many of them who channel, right?
In other words, how do you prove it?
Well, let me
to them,
ask you.
How do you prove it to somebody? Is that what you're...
No, that's not really what I'm asking. I'm bringing it up because we've talked about it. In a sense, there is a proof to it.
Well, yeah.
A kind of a roundabout
proof. It's like a connect the dots.
It's like a connect the dots. In other words,
if you seek, you shall find.
We have a history. Mankind has a history. And there's been, in the context of the history of mankind, there has been consistent, constant connection with intelligences on the other side of the veil. And those intelligences can be positive, they can be negative, and they're both. And then, for me, there's been a huge amount of investigation of those intelligences, what they're saying, correlated against my own channelings and what they're saying, and trying to get a picture of what's real and what can I trust. That's been my process, okay?
Yeah.
And, yourself.
That's the same process for many of us.
Yeah. You've been exposed to a lot of channeled information.
Yeah.
You hear different...
I've done some myself, in fact, much. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, I would say, I mean, this is me, and this is, maybe you'll change your mind, and maybe you'll come go along with this, and it's okay if you don't.
I like change. My mind's always open to it.
The way to know that this is real is, as you said, connecting the dots, looking at the history of...
Now, can you move... I'm sorry, I don't want to break your flow, and I apologize.
Oh, yes, you do want to break my flow.
No, but I was wondering if you... Can you position your cellular somehow a little way? Because you're kind of getting a garble in your...
Is that better?
I
moved it somewhere to a different location. Sorry about my cellular.
Yeah. No, we'll work through it. It's fine. No, let's just do it. Sorry.
Okay. So... when we first met, when I first did a show on BBS, I don't even think it was called BBS at that time, was it?
No.
It was your blog-in service.
Well,
right?
It was a blog-in service to others, yes. It was
right. A
blog-in service, yeah.
Right. And someone referred me to you, and I told you a story, or I told the story in a tape recorder. I just sat and looked at the wall in my little house, and talked about my experience, and you said, "Wynn, you have the strongest story I've ever heard."
It was something like that. I thought I said something like, "You have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen," or something.
Well, you never met me at that time.
Oh, okay.
So, no, you did.
Or maybe you have the most beautiful voice I ever heard.
No.
You don't think so?
No, you said you have the strongest story. Which I do.
Well, yes, I still believe that today. In fact, if your story is monumental, it truly is, because it shows the average, a guy, just your average, maybe even not even average kind of guy.
Who
actually can validate his way to the absolutely bizarre. And yes, and I love that, because what you bring in is so much information that you couldn't get elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, for myself, I've had to constantly evaluate what was going on for me against many, many different sources, as well as my own source, the consistency of it. And
my source is pretty low.
To the point of... Now, you're making... Don't be.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your flow.
Did you have a drink tonight, Don?
No.
You didn't?
No, actually, I didn't.
Okay.
I should, though.
We'll do it after the show, okay? Guys, this is the contrast between Don and I. That's the one. Don offered me to do a show, and I said, I don't want to do a show. How can I keep telling the same story?
Mm.
And then we started having these creative conversations. And I said, let's put the creative conversations on, right? This is the history of our show. And then we had some guests that seemed to connect with these messages on this dimensional shift. We've had Carla Rucker. We've had John Kovin. We've had Michael Sharp, Dr. Michael Sharp, who wrote a book on ascension. We had Girlfriend X, who did a live channeling on the show from the Council, what identified themselves as the Council of 12. And then we've had Don and I going through our dark night of the soul together in front of our audience. Could we say that?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Accurate. And so, probably a couple of weeks ago, then we had, you know, the dip where we went off for a couple of weeks. But a couple of weeks ago, we seemed to turn around and we seemed to have back to our old energy. Right?
We found our groove.
And our groove.
Our groove is back.
Hopefully, we'll keep it. Okay. So, you know, there is this circumstance where I'm in the middle of writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and suddenly I have a girlfriend that starts the channel, a voice that says they're the Elohim, the creator god of our realm. Now, if you had a voice talking to you that said they were the creator god of the realm,
I would ask you if
would
maybe
you believe
you were,
them? I wouldn't believe them.
I would ask them if they were related to Bush.
To Bush? Well, I would say that they're probably related to every human, every being,
right,
including Bush. But I think that's a dumb question.
Yes.
We'll go along with it. we'll put it into the flow.
All right.
But, you know, then it comes like a voice that says they're the creator god of our realm. How can you validate that? How do you know that that's true? I don't know that. I didn't know that it's true. I have a feeling it's true at this point, okay? But it's taken me a lot of consideration, a lot of cross-referencing to say, yes, I think this might be true. Then if it's true, then what are they saying? You know, they were saying exactly the same thing that I was writing in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. So now there's two independent forces coming forward.
I'm sorry.
In my life.
No, I was giggling.
This one is two independent sources saying the same thing, that we're in a dimensional shift and we're on the verge of something called ascension, where people are going to translate from one dimension to another in their bodies.
Yeah.
Now, do you think I want to put this out into the world? Not really. I tell everyone, don't believe this is true. Just consider it, because if it is true, this kind of information will prepare you for it. This is something that's, you know, when you think about it, it sounds so far out and so inaccessible to the normal consciousness that we're in.
Yeah.
But you want to know something, Don? There's a lot of people that
always
have been abducted, supposedly.
Right.
And, you know, abductions are not necessarily positive in many cases. People don't have positive experiences. Even when they don't remember it, they seem to have trauma locked into their system.
Can I break in for a sec?
Let me just say one thing. If somebody has an abduction, you know, they're going from this realm into somewhere else. They're not moved. They're not, like, picked up in their body and moved with their body physically. Somehow their body disappears somehow from the physical and ends up on a spaceship somewhere through some translation of dimensions. Isn't that correct? Is that your understanding of it, Tom?
Oh, yes. And my dad's smiling. I bet you my fault. You know, I wanted to wish you a happy new year when I really did. And I wanted to wish our audience a happy new year. And my folks, I love you. I love you, Dad. You know, I'm thinking of you. I think more like you all the time. You're a wonderful man, and I miss you. I hope you're doing well, Mother. I know you're both listening. And Auntie Di and the rest of the family, because believe me, folks, my family actually does listen to me. Why? Well, you can take that up with them, but they do. Wynn, Happy New Year.
Are you trying to change the subject?
No, not at all. No, I wanted to get right back into it, just at a different angle.
Okay.
But Happy New Year, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to come at it from this angle. You probably don't want to keep the recording. I'm joking. No, I'm thinking, you know, to be honest with you, Wynn, you have an incredible story. And this information that comes out and keeps coming out is incredible. And some of it is just so wild. And there's more of it coming out on the internet, more and more. In fact, I would recommend to the people who read or listen to our show to read the Trusted News Trader. I'm TNT Mad Dog. I love to post information. And sometimes I'll post information on channelings who that make various reports, and it's fabulous. Read that or our spiritual notebook, but get into some of the information we put out. It kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of what Wynn and I talk about. But Wynn, Conversations is probably one of the finest stories that could ever be told.
Okay, thank you, Don.
Well, I do. In fact, folks, if you don't know it, Wynn's hopefully going to make that into a picture, and, you know, one day that might become a reality. In fact, I'd like to take it on if I'm able to soon.
Yeah, but you know what? All this exaltation stuff is not important.
No.
I mean, what's important is that, not that I have great experiences, not that I'm having conversations.
I don't think they're all that great anymore, though.
I mean,
they're starting to become commonplace, it seems.
Well, that's good.
Okay? Yeah, well, exactly. People are...
I mean, assuming... And, you know, just because people are channeling, again, you got to look really carefully at what's being said and who's talking.
Sure,
and,
I agree.
I do not believe something because it's channeled, just because some voice talks to me. It takes me a huge amount of scrutiny to consider that I have a good source.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, anyone else has got the free will to say, this is just, how can I say it?
Bogus.
You know, it doesn't make sense to me. It's
yeah.
not real to me. Go read something else. That's
well, let me ask you this. Instead of let's bringing up last year and all the things we discussed, has anything new and exciting changed or happened to you since we've last talked with our audience? I mean, personally, has anything changed? Because we talk a lot about this miraculous new energies coming in and change is about to happen and people can see it in if they're sticking up with real news, which you're not going to find in the mainstream.
You know,
how do you?
I'll tell you.
I mean, what's happened to you?
As far as I'm concerned, the things that happened to me personally, Don, are very inconsequential. I mean, I could talk about them, and it's just
you even write about them.
And I can
You've
write
written
about,
books
I mean,
about them.
You know, I used to
they
write
can't
poetry.
Be that inconsequential
I,
to you.
I used to write poetry, and, you know, in poetry I would, you know, try to convert my feelings and my thoughts, you know, into a way that I could share with other people. Some of my poems are posted on winfrey.com. But quite frankly, you know, what's most important as far as I'm concerned is sharing things that other people can utilize, that other people can apply to their life, that give people hope, that we live in a world that's going two ways.
Yeah.
And one way doesn't have much hope in it.
That's right.
And the other way has lots of hope.
Correct.
And so, you know, I mean, would you like me to talk about my storage unit that I'm cleaning up and the dead rats that I find in it? That's my, you know... This has been, something in my past that's been, I haven't wanted to deal with, and I'm dealing with it, and actually, symbolically, it represents a cleansing of the past. And, you know, if, while I'm talking, I seem to have more focus tonight than I've had in the past, maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because I'm cleaning up my old storage unit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suspect it's symbolic of something everyone has. Everyone has things that they hang on to, hold on to ground themselves. You know, they hold on to old things. Or, you know, if I buy something, if I bought something, mm-hmm. I hate to throw it away. It's like, at some point, I put time and labor, whatever, and money into something.
Right.
And now I'm throwing lots of things away that I bought. I said, what do I want this for? You know? And it's like I watch myself.
It's like being in a soup. You know, the more things you have around you, the more molecules, the more density, the more soup, it kind of weighs you into that area.
Yeah.
That's what things do. It just kind of holds you into physicality. My thoughts.
Well, I think, you know, according to the channelings, it's like we start to identify with things of this realm.
Yeah.
Whether it be the physical possessions around us, the people that we're close to, the jobs we have, the role we have. I mean,
you identify
with BBS, Don?
I do. I start to see it as energy, kind of, in a way, you know, as a flow, as a weave. I don't know. That's how I kind of look at things now. A little bit weirder, maybe.
Oh, you're getting weird.
Yeah. Indubitably. Well, you know, I mean, I think people that have a lot of love and want to give a lot of love tend to look weird in today's world. And, sure, I'm happy, I'm joyous, I love who I am, I love doing what I'm doing. I struggle like everyone else, but, you know, I don't feel that weight much. I try to just always remain joyous and positive, and, you know, no matter what happens in life around me, it just, I'm always the same way, it seems. So, and I think a lot of people have gotten to that step. That's not uncommon anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
People have begun to find their inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I guess what we'd have to say is, hey, folks, we as a whole are growing up.
I'm always addressing, I always think to the people that are having problems, the people that are close to that, but are not there. Because those are the people I want to address. I mean, see, the thing is if we're all there's nothing to say. Well, okay, we're all joyous, everything's fun. Why say anything? I mean,
No, I agree. I agree with you on that. It takes action.
There's people all over the place that are having huge challenges right now.
Mm-hmm.
Huge challenges. And, you know, I think when you say, well, everything's joyous, everything's fun, I think there's people listening saying, that's not me. I'm having huge challenges.
And that's the same person, I might add, that is going to probably realize that most of their day is spent on the problems that are around them. And if that makes any sense to them, maybe they should change that mode of thought. Hey, it's the big PA system again. You know, it's attitude, perception.
You take an example of, say, some of the people that I personally know. Okay? I hope they're not listening. I'm not going to say their names.
And I'll tell you this. I think most of our audience has listened to us for so long, Wynn, that they want to actually learn things. They want to spend time learning new things from us. They want to hear new things. They want to learn to discover new things and talk about new topics and really get into new flavors. And that's what I want to do with my co-host, Wynn Free. That'd be kind of neat, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm bored with new things.
Are you?
I think there's nothing new.
You like all the old things?
No, I think there's only one thing. It's very, very simple. There's only one thing that's important.
I could go running around saying, Mother, Father, God, You know, and I could keep doing that all day long.
Well, it's not saying that.
Yeah.
That's only...
Be great. Hey,
that's
I might have an experience on it, too.
That, it's not the words that mean a thing.
In fact, Michelle, pencil that in, will you?
The key to this, Don, is this idea of holographic connecting yourself.
There is a key. Stop. You know, I think the key is...
This is going to be one of those shows where
no,
I do something.
No.
Listen to the idea. Holographically connecting yourself to the greater cosmos. Not just the idea of it, but knowing that you're there, that you're existing, not just as this body, but you, in your spirit form, are connected to all that is and everyone that is. That's the only experience that is meaningful in this realm.
Have you ever experienced that?
To me, yeah, I experience it a lot.
I mean, like, how does it feel?
How does it feel?
Yeah, like if you experience being multidimensional, how does it feel in that instance?
You know, it's not easy to put...
Because I could describe a feeling to you, and
why don't you describe it?
Well, it's something totally different. I don't know if it... the reason I say that is because I wouldn't lead into it that way. But when I was sitting down, I was watching a TV program, and I had blank... You know, you sometimes you stare out... And you have you're thinking about certain things, and you don't really know what you're thinking about, but you're just twirling. Well, in that moment, when I was twirling, it was the weirdest sensation. I imagine all of a sudden you go from you to knowing what it feels like on the other side in all its entirety. In other words, if you were dead right now and you knew to yourself what that felt like in one, I mean, you knew it. And that's exactly what I knew in that split second. And it was so fine and so intense and so sharp and so fleeting, I might add, that it knocked my whole world for a loop for days.
When did this happen?
This was recently. This was about sometime before Christmas. You know, I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's because it. I mean, is that multidimensional? Is that what I felt? I don't know.
See, I'm not sure.
I know that I felt in that instance. I know this. It felt like I was on the other side, and in that moment, I was all and everything and my contained space in any focus point I wanted it to be, so open and so certain and so, and yet, so fleeting. I can't, it was I couldn't describe the feeling. Few of the feelings that I get are, I can describe many of them in flavors of words, but this and one other is pretty difficult to do. I would have to say...
Was that the first time you had that experience?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was weird. It's almost like a time slip. But... Like, you go from time to no time, something to everything.
Do you ever sit on top of a hill or a mountain and look down on a city, and you have this exalted feeling while you're looking? You feel like you are the city, you're breathing deeply, you're with nature, you're feeling one with everything, you look at the sky, and... Even though you're in your body, you're not in your body. You're both there and here at the same time. Do you ever have that kind of experience?
You mean during a meditation and doing...
Well, even without a meditation. I mean, you just stopped to look at a view.
Mm.
And, or
And you became that?
And for a moment, there's this incredible...
You find yourself one with the view. Is that what you mean? No, I haven't experienced it, but I can kind of... I feel what you're saying, I think, but no, I've never experienced it.
Because maybe that's something other people have experienced, that they can relate to this.
Well,
you know?
If they can, they should call in. 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And if you're in Canada, well, I'm Canadian, and you guys are so smart, you'll actually go to the website and get the number because I forgot. I'm joking. Yeah. No, we Canadians, we'd remember.
You know, this is an experience. It's not for me.
I love being Canadian, by the way.
It's not something, congratulations, it's not something, Don.
And I love Americans.
It's like years and years ago when I, you know, looked for a peak experience, I looked for it. You know, I felt...
A peak experience.
I mean, when I was in Berkeley and I did some, you know, psychedelic drugs, looking for some kind of peak experience. And I had peak experiences, but you know what? They were really, really very far away from my ordinary consciousness. And
I think we have a caller. Should we put him on the air? I'd have to answer it. We can either put him on the air or...
Well, answer and say hello.
All right.
But I want to stay on our topic.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Valerie.
Valerie, how are you?
Doing good.
Good to have you on the air with us.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi. I love you guys, you know?
Thank you.
and I just decided I had to just call in and rescue you because, you know, I've had all these weird experiences in my life, and so I wanted to play, too.
you're following our topic, right?
I love her.
I'm probably what?
You're following our topic.
Yes, I am. I'm sitting here at the office and playing Mad Scientist and listening, and
so,
no wind.
So, you know, we're in our usual contentious state, which is fine, and my goal is to try to create a stair step so someone can experience all that is and know what that feels like, because... It's a rather subtle experience. It's not a peak experience as I would have thought of when I was younger and I was taking psychedelics. It's not a peak experience, because if it's a peak experience, it stops. When you can hold that energy, it's more, and it becomes like an ordinary thing, trying to describe how to hold that energy, how to know that right in this moment, you're both here and there. Not only that, I mean, for me, because I'm having all these channeling experiences, I start to get to recognize the energy of these celestial beings when they're in my field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that is not so simple to have, because without the channeling, this would have escaped me. But they describe how they are. And then I start to say, oh, that's them, and realize that they are actually integrated in my energy field in a really subtle way. It doesn't knock me over the head. It doesn't, like, say, whoa. I mean, it's not like I have orbs that I'm looking at or purple people jumping and sitting next to me talking to me. I haven't had that done.
That's an unusual experience, I might add, folks.
I
actually have had that, and it's a little bizarre.
I haven't had any purple ones.
Oh, yeah.
I've had golden ones.
Purple, violet.
I've had a lot of golden ones, and I've had ones that looked like kind of sparkly black velvet.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to describe, but I hear those are
colors. You've had golden beings in your space.
Oh, yeah. Lots of times.
Did they have mouths? Did they have bodies? Or were they just...
Fuzz balls.
They were... there's the orbs and stuff, too. But, no, these were tall, golden beings, as tall as the ceiling. Very tall and slender, and if I really concentrate, I can tell who they are. And
you can make out the outline.
No, it's more, it's not that. Yeah, I can see the outline, but it's more like when I know who they are, it's because they kind of tapped me and said, you know, hey, recognize me. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's El Moria. Or, you know, or that's the one we know as Jesus. And
So they have names.
Yeah.
And you've had Jesus as a golden being in your space.
Yeah, but his name really isn't Jesus.
Yeah. Emmanuel.
No, it's even, it's different than that. And I you know, I can't quite bring it to
conscious. I have my own name for him.
Yeah?
I call him Jay.
Jay, that's cool. I just call him the Christos. But
the Christos.
The Christos, yeah. And,
Denise, that was for you, baby. We love you. Denise Now, newnow.org.
So. Yeah. And so you know, sometimes I know and sometimes I don't. But you know, for a while there, before I put up all the projectors in my healing space, I had lots of golden beings. And I was quite upset when they kind of all disappeared. And I called up Fred Bell and said, hey, what happened to all my golden beings? And he said, well, you know, those guys were there just to get you to get all this stuff together so you'd have better communication, and now you got to raise your vibrations. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really interesting. Since then, what I've noticed is I have out-of-body experiences that are really beautiful, that are totally unplanned. It's not like I'm trying to go out of the body, but, you know, just on the point where I'm really exhausted, and I'm saying, look, you know, I need some help. I need somebody to take me to one of the planets where I can have some sanctuary and just kind of rest and recuperate. And usually within the next week sometime, I get taken out of my body, and I'm woken up to consciousness as I'm coming out of my body and going to the most incredible places. And I always come back feeling completely rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's such a wonderful feeling. That's the longest I've been able to hold that feeling.
You know, that's interesting, because have you ever meditated, Val, where you went so deep that, and this, I've only done it twice. I was even telling Michelle, who works with us now at BBS Radio, I said, Michelle, if you ever go so deep when you're in a meditation that you come to that point where you know you're going to go into a dream, at the point where you know you would be in the deepest of sleep and your mind would forget, and you're the lull of that is so, you want to drift off into that, but you're so, you feel nothing, you're way above your body is totally shut down, and you come to that point where you know you can totally fold in or go into it, and if you decide to go into it, then you kind of got to keep your wits about you, your mind about you, but not keep the energy going and then ride into that dreamlike state. And if you ever get there, fully awake, fully aware, I mean, I've heard people going into it in different ways. I don't know. Again, I always do things backwards, ask my mom. But I did this, and there was that definite point, and I've reached it twice. Mm-hmm. And once I get in there, I'm telling you, it's, that truly is a bizarre dimension. I would have to say it's unusual to be in that kind of a state, awake, fully,
but
conscious and subconsciously there.
But that's like, that's kind of what I've always thought of as lucid dreaming, because you have total control, and you can go where you want.
But I mean, not just total control where you can go what you want. I mean, you're in beyond that. You're so in. It's like the deepest part of your brain can go, kind of almost like your super conscious state.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had a lot of those kinds of experiences, and like some of them I felt like I could control, and other ones I'm being taken there.
Yeah, when I got there, it's so hard not to be, to weird out. And by that I mean, you love being there. I get excited, first of all, because I'm always testing it. I don't believe. I mean, I got to go there, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Put me in the ship, fly me to the moon. I'm a believer. Even though things become known to me, I believe them, and they become known in my way.
Mm-hmm. They become known in the way that the other beings know that you're comfortable.
Well, no, in the way that to me they're facts, but if I put them out on the table, people wouldn't believe me.
Sure, I understand that. There's a lot of people that look at me kind of askance. Well, not so much anymore, but, you know, when I was younger and I had all these experiences, people didn't know what to make of it. It wasn't so common then. And, you know, now, I mean, it's pretty routine for me to come out of my body and go someplace really cool. But, you know,
so you know what that experience is like.
I do.
When do you?
I've had tons of them. Pardon?
Valerie?
Yeah.
Why don't you...
How do you get there? Explain, because I've only been able to get there twice, and getting there, I think, is what Wynn wants to discuss.
Okay.
Let me
tell you the simple way to do it. And the first time I discovered it was when I was investigating the Rosicrucian stuff when I was like 20-something. And they send you a free lesson, you know, when you sign up, or at least they used to. The lesson was an out-of-body experience, and that was before Raymond Moody and all these people started doing that. So I did what they said. I relaxed my body totally, and I kept my consciousness aware. So I was going down through the different levels and going down into Delta with my body, but not with my consciousness. My consciousness kind of stayed at Alpha. And so I just kind of went through all these stages. And then they say that you imagine that you're coming out the top of your head as you relax your body all the way up to your head. And when I did that, there was this huge whoosh, and I popped out of my body, scared the holy crap out of myself.
I've done that. I have actually popped out and freaked myself out so badly.
Yeah. Well, the first time I did that, it totally flipped me out. And then after a while, I realized that I'd been doing it since I was a little kid, but it didn't happen in a whoosh like that, and it didn't happen consciously. It just kind of happened. And I've had a lot of experiences where I wasn't sure if I was awake and in this dimension or if I was asleep or if I was in another dimension. And I've had some states of confusion where that happened. And I've had stuff happen where, you know, I had a dream that I was in another dimension and I had hopped dimensions. And I was fully in each one of those dimensions and they were very similar. And the only way that I could get out of that dimension was to go back to bed and go to sleep and then wake up and hope that I was back in the right one. Well, sometimes I know I don't make it back to the one I was in because I'll be sitting there and I'll look out the window and look at my land and all of a sudden I'll see something that wasn't there. And I think I told you about that where I was sitting there having coffee one day and I looked out the window and there's a brand new Rainbird sprinkler head on a defunct sprinkler. And I'm looking out there and I'm going, now, I don't have a gardener. I don't have a little garden fairy running around and putting rainbow sprinkler heads on my defunct sprinkler system. I mean, where the hell did this thing come from? And then a couple of days later, there was a second one. I thought, okay, this is getting really strange. And so I've had things like that. It
happened to me just last night on a $1,000 mixer. You know my 2-year-old son?
Uh-huh.
He comes down. You know the knobs on these mixers?
Uh-huh.
They pull the knobs off, and then they lose them.
Oh, man.
You know those little knobs?
Uh-huh.
And it's this beautiful mixer. And I just laughed. I laughed, and Michelle looked at me, and she's like, and you know, I can't believe it. What are you going to do? I said, what can you do? You got to laugh. These kids are beautiful. So
I had something disappear the other day.
Well, the next morning, I woke up, and I went to bed. Everybody was asleep. Next morning, I woke up, and you know what? Every knob was there. Every single knob. And not only was it there, it was pushed in, but not all the way.
Oh, geez,
perfectly. And I said, what do you make of this? Because Michelle came in that day. I said, what do you make of this? Couldn't believe it. So I didn't know what. That was just bizarre things
happening. Yeah, I think what we do is we hop dimensions, you know.
Maybe.
And they're all very parallel because, I mean, there's times when I have a distinct memory of something. And I'll talk to somebody that I know is supposed to have the same memory, and they have no such memory. And I look at them, and I go, oops, I guess I jumped dimensions again. But I have to tell you, you know, I've had some really...
Wynn, you're a dimension jumper, aren't you?
I don't use that vocabulary, so I have to...
What did you say?
I was teasing him. I said, Wynn, you're a dimension jumper, aren't you?
I would think that Wynn is.
He is. He's got to be.
Valerie?
Yes, sir.
Tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Tell what?
Talk a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get you do? Do you do something out in the world?
I'm a naturopathic physician, and I have the Enlightened Medicine Show. And so I play doctor most of the time.
What city are you in?
I'm in Sedona.
I know you. Valerie Olmsted, right?
Yeah. We met over at Fred Bell's dinner that one night. You were going to bring me a book, and you disappeared. Apparently, you slipped into another dimension. And Don and I were sitting there waiting.
I told you he was a dimension jumper.
I came back with a book, and you disappeared.
Yeah, well, you were gone like an hour, dude. Don and I are sitting there going, what happened to Wynn? And finally, I had to go. I was pretty tired, so.
Right.
I went, I guess he's not coming back.
An hour. I think I had to walk back to my car, which was around the block.
Oh, no. You were gone more than an around the block trip.
Really?
Yes, you were.
He was dimension jumping.
Yeah, see, that's what happens.
See, Wynn, you do it, you don't even know you do it.
See, that happens like around here. We have a bunch of dimensional time warp type things. And like I was going down the back road from the village where I live, down the back road towards Cottonwood. And this is
starting to sound like a comedy.
Yeah, it is a comedy, let me tell you. And like I was supposed to go to this patient's house, and it's nighttime, and I'm driving along, and I'm thinking, and it should take me like a half an hour, right? It took me an hour and a half. And I'm driving along, and I'm not driving slow. You know, I'm kind of speeding along, and all of a sudden, I looked down at the clock, and I went, holy cow, I just lost an hour. Where the hell did that go? And I got to the guy's house, and I said, was I taking an awful long time to get here? He said, yeah, it took you an hour longer than it should have.
Wow.
And I said, wow, you know, but I got some great ideas while I was driving along. I was getting downloaded. And so he said, well, you know, there's a time warp out there. I said, yeah, well, apparently, I didn't know when I went into it, but I knew at some point that I came out because I realized that a lot of time had passed. And, you know, that happens around here a lot. Like all of a sudden you'll be like 15 minutes late and all of a sudden you're on time.
Well, that happened to me. I'm going to tell you a story, folks, that I told a couple stories. And these are weird ones. My mom knows about one. One's kind of personal. But, see, when my mother was born, when we were born, when my mother was giving birth to us, she didn't know up until the time she gave birth that there was two.
Wow.
They thought, in fact, they didn't even know, and she went to three specialists. Why? Because during the pregnancy, they thought she had a tumor.
Oh, geez.
And three specialists told her the same thing. And there was no other heartbeat or anything. And ended up being one twin, and the other one was, of course, in an awkward position, breech, and had to be brought forward, and it was me, so. It's little. And then when I was younger, I fell under a tree, and I fell under there early in the morning, and I don't think I woke up till about, midnight the following day.
Oh, my gosh.
And it felt like only 1 second had passed. Shut my eyes and opened them. And I couldn't figure it out. I was so disoriented the whole day. Believe me, I mean, that drove me so batty. And I was young, and I couldn't figure it out to save my life. It totally disoriented my whole day. And even the next day, actually the whole week, it really just screwed with, because it's such an insane experience to lose time.
I've had a lot of that myself where I really didn't know what day it was or what time it was when I woke up. And I've had that happen to me so many times, mostly when I was working too much. But
it'll catch you. It's a bizarre.
It's very strange. And you know, there's times where I'll sit here and time will pass like in a second. And I look up and I think, man, I haven't got much work done. And my mom called the other night around midnight and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just sitting here working. I looked at the clock and went, holy cow. And you know, other times, I'll get a ton of work done, and like only a half an hour's passed. And I think, okay, I know I live in Weirdsville here, in Woodland, you know. And you know, things get a little strange. But, I mean, all kinds of stuff happens out here, and stuff has happened to me my whole life. And, I mean, I could tell you dozens of,
I know
stories.
I know. You know, It's funny because the stories come back. I didn't even realize how much it occurred until I started going back, too. So it you're right. You, as you go farther back in your younger childhood, you realize that it's been occurring all along.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyways.
Yeah,
Valerie,
I think
for you.
Well, we apologize.
Go.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Morgellons disease?
Yeah, I just had a show on it last week.
Yeah.
I had Dr. George Swartz on last week, and I had him on previously back in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the update on Morgellons.
Maybe I'll give you a call, because I have a friend that believes they have it. So.
Tell him to email me.
Okay.
Because I've got the treatment for it that I got from Dr. Swartz.
Oh, or Cliff Mickelson. Post to the TNT board. Cliff Mickelson's quite up on that as well.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of research being done on it now. The CDC is finally, you know, at least acknowledging that there is something.
Oh, are they? Oh, good.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, Wynn, that every single person I've tested that's come in my office has it.
They do?
They do. Every single person, including me. And so I did the protocol, and Dr. Schwartz says that nothing natural takes it away, which makes no sense to me, because if it's just parasites.
Okay. Now, imagine this. If it's really the Morgellons, you're going to know. You'll know.
Mm-hmm.
Won't you? Because it breaks out in filaments. And
well,
those filaments, those fibrous filaments, well...
Not necessarily. I never got that. But I had all the other stuff.
All the other stuff.
The filaments come out later.
I think you can have a lot of things, but they're, you know, if your immune system is good, it just never takes over your body.
Maybe. Could be like, like a flu or something.
Well, here's my thought on it. I just had a strange thought. I was talking to the guy who's the head of the Canadian research website, and he kind of wandered into my office a few days before I interviewed Dr. Schwartz. And he was talking about how the one lady in San Francisco that came out with it and has been experimented on, they just replaced either her knees or her hips. He couldn't remember which. And he said that they found that the fibers were throughout the bone, completely throughout the bone. And I kind of sat there and looked at him and I said, what if it's not a disease? You know, we've all been talking for years about how mankind is going into a silicone-based being. And I always said, what the hell does that mean? You know, I mean, how is that going to look? And, you know,
silicone-based being.
Yeah, instead of carbon-based. So,
you know, hey, there's a thought for you, folks.
Yeah,
throw
noggin. I'm not saying that I know. I'm just saying
that would be, you know, hey, it would explain it.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder. Maybe that's what, I don't know.
We're going to carbon. Aren't we already carbon-based?
Yeah, we are carbon-based.
I mean, we're going to silicone.
Well, that's what they say, which would make sense for a light body and for electrical stuff. But I'm like, you know, I don't know. I really don't know, guys. You know, and I just posited the question because as he was saying this to me, that thought hit my head, and I went, whoa.
Well,
it'll be good because when they do surgery, all they get some silicone glue.
Well, we've got, we're a little bit over time. We have, of course, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show coming up. Yes.
Well, guys, it's been wonderful.
We should go like 15 minutes over.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm excited. I'm actually sitting someplace where I can listen finally on a Saturday.
Hi, Fred.
One.
Over. Valerie, check in again another time, because I'd like to cross notes with you on this.
Well, why doesn't she close with a prayer or call in the light with us?
Okay.
And then we got to close off because I got to.
When I call in the light, you know, this is not just words, Don. I'm invoking all those holographic energies.
Let's do it.
I'm not starting a religion, okay?
That's the same thing I do, brother.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So, you know, don't make fun of it. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, that any negativity be released to the higher realms of light. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, the Hunapku. And for those that want to participate, we join our energies together in a group consciousness. And in our consciousness, we a blend with those higher consciousnesses, those group souls that are operating in service to others in the Christed energies. And we send this energy around our planet, around the grid lines, to the center of the Earth, and to every person listening to us right now, that they might feel this flow in the space they're in. And on that note, we wish you all a good night and a happy new year.
Happy new year, everyone. And of course, stay tuned. We have a wonderful show coming up for you. It's the Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. So stick around. We'll be right back.
I love you.